The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he was resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife. But he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
He's got the whole world.
I remember those days with the little ones. My baby is 31, so it's been a while since I've had that much energy at Christmas time. We are here in the fourth week of Advent. We know that because we've lit four candles. Can you believe it's already, you know what that means, that Christmas is just around the corner, just a few days away. Now, we've heard messages over the last few weeks about hope, about peace, and last week, about joy. And this morning, we come forth to bring the candle of love. Now, when I think of the word love, you know, things pop into my head all the time, and I'm going to age myself here with the Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love, Yat-da-da-da-da." Come on, you guys can do it. Yat da 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 da. Now you're going to be singing that in your head all day long. You can thank me later. And while that statement may be true, the statement provokes us to ask, whose love? Humans have done many things, not so nice things, in the name of love. We have killed, we've gone to war, we've held people against their will, lots of things. And I think it's safe to say that all we need is God's love. God's love is pure love, unselfish. It's grace-filled. The Apostle Paul gives us a great definition of God's love in 1 Corinthians 13, and something that I'm sure we've heard many, many, many times. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. What a beautiful definition of love. But that's a tall order of love that God gives us through Paul. Sometimes it's hard to love like this, isn't it? To love as God wants us to love, we must trust God in all things. And even when things don't seem to go as planned in our lives. Anything ever get in the way of your plans in your life? Yeah, we've all had that happen. In our gospel reading from Matthew, Joseph finds himself in that situation where things haven't turned out how he had things planned. You see, Joseph was engaged to Mary. Engagements in the Jewish culture in the first century were very, very serious. You were basically married to that person, though you might not be living together yet. The engagement was a legally binding agreement in the Jewish faith. The main reason for separations in these Jewish marriages were because maybe the couple was too young yet to live together, or because, you know, Jewish parents would arrange for the marriages of their children. It was very common back then. Many young girls were betrothed long before they had come to age, around 15. And many theologians believe Mary was a young girl of around 15 years old. Now, hearing 15 years old being betrothed to be married sounds very odd to our modern sensibilities, but that was the norm in Jesus' time. You see, life expectancy in Jesus' time was very, very low, averaging around 20 to 35 years at birth, mainly due to the extremely high infant and child mortality. Nearly a third died before the age of one. Yet if you could live past 15, your life expectancy jumped significantly, and many living into their 50s and 60s and beyond. If an engaged woman was found pregnant before she was living with her husband, she was considered in sin adulteress, and the Jewish law said she could be stoned to death. Joseph was a righteous man, and he, in an appropriate for him, to obtain a certificate of divorce from Mary, even though they were just engaged. But at this point, Joseph experiences a personal dilemma. You see, Joseph cannot follow through and marry Mary. Doesn't that sound Mary? Because that would condone what Mary had done, which he believed at the point was being with another man. Divorce for adultery was not optional but mandatory in the ancient Jewish tradition. Yet Joseph's concern for Mary's long-term reputation compels him to avoid exposing Mary to public disgrace. The character and compassion of Joseph is revealed in this dilemma. Joseph's obedience to the law is not legalistic. He decides to divorce Mary quietly, hopefully saving her from public humiliation and possible saving her from death. Obedience to the law, yet with compassion and mercy. Does that sound familiar at all? It's the same lesson Jesus lives out throughout his earthly ministry. I can imagine Joseph's hopes and plans for his future with Mary were crushed when he finds out that she is pregnant. But something happened. God intervened, and Joseph had a dream. In the dream, an angel tells Joseph that Mary has not been with another man, but is pregnant through God's doing. And because of this, he should take Mary as his wife. Joseph awakes, and he does what the angel had instructed him to do. Joseph is obedient to God. We don't know much about Joseph. He only shows up in the beginning of the Gospels before Jesus' public ministry. So we assume that he dies early on. Yet every time we hear about Joseph in Scripture, we see the balance of obedience to God and also love of God and those around him. He takes Mary to Bethlehem for Jesus to be born. When he takes Jesus to the temple to present him to God as their firstborn. When he takes Jesus and Mary away from Bethlehem to Egypt to protect Jesus from Herod, all these show how Jesus loved both of them. And his love was action. And everything that Joseph does, he is obedient to God first while loving Mary and Jesus. Joseph exemplifies God's love. We can learn a lot from Joseph. Joseph was open to God, and because of that, he did not let his beliefs determine the outcome. Sometimes I think we are a little bit too quick to judge others, aren't we? To see things in black and white, and we need to leave space for the Holy Spirit to intervene. for God to intervene in situations and in our beliefs. There's a quote about love that has always inspired me when I was growing up, and it's from a religious place, from Oscar Hammerstein, okay? Yeah, you remember Rodgers and Hammerstein, right? I'm showing my age here. Of all the wonderful musicals and that Oklahoma Showboat, Sound of Music, all these musicals that they wrote. And I was a musical junkie. I still probably am a musical junkie, but there's not that many musicals today. But he wrote this, and you probably have heard it before. You might not have known the source of it. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. Think about that. We are called to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But nowhere are we called to judge others. Love is action. As the kids explained to us earlier, it's not just holding on to something in our minds and pondering it. It's something that we do. It's something that we show. God is a judge, so we need to leave room in our hearts in this season and in the coming year for God and God's love. And then we have to give it away. That is what we are called to do, to love and then to show God's love in this world. You may totally be surprised by the direction of your life when you give love away. Amen.